final thoughts in this session is Lyndon J. Edwards, Biblical Sabbath, Original Paradigm of Biohistory, Model Critique of Humanistic Naturalism.
I, after certain speakers, I feel comfortable. Then, yeah, after other speakers, I wondered if I came before, but that's one of the wonderful things of this meeting, that you bring together so many people with different perspectives on this very important issue of our world and its origin and the idea of faith in God. I apologize also for wearing a tie, because most people don't have. Actually, I brought that suit also, but coming from one of the colleges, former colleges of Britain, and knowing how formal things are here, I said I better walk with tie. And here we are, tires. Naturalism, creation, kind of a reword, rephrase a lot of things saying within this title. The title I am presenting is Naturalism, Creation, and the Biblical Sabbath, Original Paradigm of Earth History. And what I will do, like Professor Boyd, I did not anticipate such a large group, so I came with 15 abstracts. He takes 35, he said 15. So there, if you'd like to take one, it's available. If you'd like to get a copy sent to you, or even the full document, which is about 80 pages, I'd be glad to send it back to you by whatever means, feeling or means. So what I'm going to do, in the interest of time, is to just read a rather extended abstract of my paper to allow for more time for questions and to ensure that you get the full picture before time is up. I am presenting this topic, as indicated in the title, from a decided and biblical point of view. And I begin by referring to the importance of symbols. Symbols are designed to perform critical functions. They enable us to remember and cherish those things that are too important to forget. A symbol simplifies, and that we amplify meaning by pointing to something beyond itself and bigger than itself. The Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Memorial, the Statue of Liberty use American symbols are clear examples of this. They point to something beyond themselves and bigger than themselves. They capture the essence of a story, of a cause. To lose sight of such a symbol is to be at risk to lose sight of the thing it signifies, to forget its essence and its implication. Therefore, we make symbols. The biblical Sabbath is one such symbol, and in my studies, it is monumental. Though large is not today, it is to serve as a comprehensive metaphor for creation. The prologue, the process, and the epilogue of creation. Thus, the Sabbath stands as a timeless catalyst for faith In the sovereignty of the one who is the creator of all things on this planet, with its support system. And therefore, serves as a kind of repudiation of humanistic naturalism. Let me discuss in broad sense the three functions of the Sabbath in its relationship to creation that I alluded to above. First, and of course, a shorter abstract is in the program in the rest. First, prologue. The Sabbath is a symbol of creation beginning. After all, usually most of us believe that the world did have a beginning. In the biblical affirmation of creation past, the Sabbath anticipates the existential question as to where we came from and answers it even before it is asked. The observance of the Sabbath then is the explicit denial that the natural world spontaneously created itself, and it is positive affirmation or confession that nature's first cause transcends nature itself. Genesis 1, Exodus 20, and then that your scripture seems to convey that message rather clearly. This, it seems to me, is the inescapable essence of the biblical story recorded again and again, that this world at least did not create itself. So that's the problem, the Sabbath, as we know, was a part of that creative process, a day was created, blessed, right there in the book of Genesis, and again it goes through Mother Scripture. Process. The Sabbath is a symbol of creation continuing. In the biblical affirmation of creation as a continuing process through time and in the here and now, the Sabbath answers the question as to why we are here. It defines the human vocation as one of stewardship of the earth in close collaboration with the Creator Himself. The Bible associates the Sabbath with things like liberation, healing, creating a just society, an inclusive society. Isaiah 6, 58, and in the Gospel as well. So, every act of restoration, of liberation, of healing, of uplifting the oppressed, of creating clean hearts and renewing right spirits, of establishing a community of faith that is inclusive, every act of sustaining and beginning again that is consistent with the ideals and vision when the Creator declared all things to be very good, it would be not perfect. Very good. Every such act involves the creative process. It is an occasion that reenacts the mystery of the creation, and the Sabbath is a powerful symbolic expression of the sanctity of such deeds, and it is a tribute honoring the one whose wisdom and power is its ultimate cause. One example. Challenge, and there are many that I have in my people. Challenge as to the legitimacy of exercising his power to heal on the Sabbath. Jesus responded, "My Father is always working to this day, and I am working." For one, he asked the question whether the rest Sabbath, the rest come in, and they work so explicitly and work by Jesus Christ. Well, time is not allowed to answer that question, but the fact is that the Creator is at work seeking to stay or to do anything that is consistent with his original ideas. A human being's vocation is one collaborating in this endeavor. Epilogue. The Sabbath is a symbol of consummation. In a golden creation future, when the Creator will make all things new, the Sabbath envisions where we are going, and it will remain a monument in time and into eternity, according to Scripture. The Sabbath is therefore a harbinger of hope, pointing to a God-conceived destiny in which the whole of creation, now growing and prevailing in pain, even until now, is fully rescued from the tyranny of change and decay and restored to its finest self. Further, so understood, the Sabbath provides an answer to the theodicy dilemma, assuring humankind on earth that evil and its consequences, now apparently irremovable from the fabric of existence, will not have a permanent foothold on this planet. I think there has been established that one of Darwin's major motivations or concerns was the presence of an imperfect nature where there was so much devastation and destruction and inhumanity. And he could not reconcile that idea with the idea of God who is good and a creation who is good. I think the Sabbath helps us see the big, long picture, affirming that evil will not have a permanent foothold on this planet. And so Paul talks about the hope that this planet will be rescued from change and decay, and other passages of Scripture does confirm that. So, in summary, let me read what I have in my actual paper. In the introduction to the study, we noted that symbols are critical to the survival or effectiveness of the truths or causes to which they point. To lose such symbols is to run the risk of losing meaning, because they do signify and simplify meaning, pointing to something beyond themselves and bigger than themselves. Around such symbols, we organize our finer thoughts and values about particular matters, enabling us to better remember those things that are too important to forget. One such symbol, as I said, is the Sabbath, monument to creation and creator. Jesus Christ is the organizing personality that expresses God as all-sufficient creator of heaven and earth. The Sabbath is the organizing principle that expresses symbolically the meaning of that creation throughout the stages of our history. It is for this reason that Jesus Christ, by whom all things were created, could designate himself as Lord also of the Sabbath. This paper has offered for consideration the view that the Sabbath, sanctified from the beginning, enshrined in law, actualized in Jesus, and fulfilled in redemption history, is the most meaningful and necessary signpost in the journey of an intelligent faith. Pointing to reality beyond itself, it anticipates the three fundamental existential questions that arise from the core of restless human souls. Where do we come from? Why are we here? Where are we going? Again, it holds a theodicy that not merely challenges evil
and all forms of oppression and distortion here and now, but one that denies them a permanent place in the natural order. The fact that it affirms without equivocation the operative presence of a divine hand in Earth's journey through time and space, prologue, process, epilogue, from initiation to culmination, speaks of a creator who, though still shrouded in a mystery whose depths we cannot fully plumb, has always been intelligent and gracious and true Immanuel God with us. Therefore, I conclude by saying that to deliberately or unintentionally disregard this monumental symbol is to casually dismiss it as a, or to casually dismiss it as a relic of Jewish culture and as an impediment to faith, is to miss its true significance. A major consequence of doing so is that the very things this monument encompasses, the vital lessons it is intended to transmit from generation to generation, are put at risk. When such verities are put at risk, floodgates of speculative rationalization, which pure naturalism epitomizes, those gates swing open. Professionals in science, theology, and philosophy, as well as non-professionals, need profit. I think, and I submit, by taking another look at how this biblical paradigm of the trajectory of Earth's history can broaden the range of conception, enrich the conversation about creation and science, and mitigate existential anxiety about the past, present, and future. That's the essence of what I have come up with, and I offer it to you.
Questions? Let's start in the middle here.
Yes, Ted Peters mentions in his books that this earth, hesitant to call this earth, quote, good, unquote, and we can't call this earth good until the new creation. I'm wondering if that has sympathy or echo of your theological implications of that.
Well, a few years ago, one of my mentors raised the question in the class as to whether this earth is fundamentally good or bad. And the almost immediate answer of the most vocal student was, it is bad, it is evil. I wasn't sure, so I didn't answer the question. I need more time to think about it. But after many years, maybe 30 years now, I'm still prepared to say that this earth is fundamentally good here, fundamentally at its heart. This morning I got up, I looked at the beautiful sky, the sun was rising, or the earth was turning. And I looked at nature, at these mountains and hills, and all of the wonderful things. And I have to say, from my personal perspective, that the earth is still good. Now there is evil, there are bad things here, but fundamentally it is good. And God, the reason that is so is because God's hand, the hand of the Creator, is still at work, sustaining, guiding, protecting, keeping. Now why he doesn't be absolutely and eliminate evil, that's another question. I'm not sure if I answered your question, but I sort of around.
Just a couple of comments to perhaps amplify the figures and help you share with us. Where I come from in Belfast, in Northern Ireland, NIV stands not for the international version, but the Northern Ireland version. And when you come to Exodus chapter 31, where the people of Israel are given directions for observing the Sabbath, the NIV translation uses on at least one occasion the word celebrate. Perhaps that's something we need to underline in terms of the way we we celebrate creation today. Yeah. And just a second observation needs to go with it. Where I live in Belfast, but a mile away, there's a very, very big shopping centre. And on the weeks leading up to Christmas, Sunday is the day when people have to sort of traffic jams to get to the car park. And it just strikes me that's the exact opposite of celebration.
Well, I guess that's part of what I'm saying. But the theme of Sabbath is not just seventh day, as you read your testament, you read about the seventh year, right? When the land is at rest, when, and the year of Jubilee, for 7749th year, the year of Jubilee, when debts are relieved and the land goes back to the original, when the land is at rest. Thus, again, I believe that tells us about the value of creation and repudiates with the notion that it's the survival of the fittest. And the year of Jubilee, the ones who are poor receive back, their debts are cancelled, lands go back to them. So I think there's a lot of implications in this theme of Sabbath, both in terms of the seventh day, the seventh year, the Jubilee year. And in fact, the idea of liberation in Deuteronomy 5, where the message about the Sabbath is linked with, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and by God's mighty hand you were delivered. Therefore, keep the Sabbath. Celebrate this deliverance. So it's a theme that is multifaceted, but it goes all the way through.
About the centrality of all the themes that we've just listed. Isn't it true that with the New Testament there's an interominally neglect of the Sabbath but rather an expansion into the whole world, that Paul tells the Christians not to argue about special things and the people of God are told to enter the Sabbath rest? Is this not a concept which needs expanding? I mean, I think you're right to further submit it, but do you think it's more a case of expanding this to the whole of the world every day?
Yeah, I believe that that's true. I really don't take a position of either or. I like to be inclusive in all of this. And also, because one of the arguments that have historically been made against the whole idea of the Sabbath is that it's a relic of legalism. In peace, faith. You have faith in Jesus Christ. But that's the way the Jews in Christ, they looked at the Sabbath. It was extremely legalistic. And Jesus dealt with that issue. But when you look at it from the point of view of affirming faith in the Creator, who is Jesus Christ Himself, you can see how consistent the Sabbath is with the Gospel. So yes, expanding its meaning, broadening its significance, and celebrating it is, I think, yes,
another question. Have any more questions, comments? Going once?
Thank you very much, your paper. I was just interested in your abstract in the book that I referenced to Romans 8. Creation, labouring in pain, and I just wondered if you could tease out what you saw as the significance of that passage in relation to your
discussed this morning quite a bit on this about, I think, illustrated it. Global warming, and all the other issues that we are grappling with, poverty, environmental degradation in various forms, the pain that we, in fact, Paul goes on saying not only the creation, but we ourselves who have received the first gift of the Spirit, we are groaning within ourselves. We experience pain, loss. I have two young kids and I struggle with them. Young, they are adults now. But, you know, when they suffer, I suffer. When they make wrong decisions, it hurts. I can't do nothing about it. You can't say very much to our young people today because we are very liberated and we respect that. But the pain that we all experience in an imperfect world, I think, is what Paul is referring to. He himself had a thorn in the flesh that he struggled with. So, yes, I think those things that we are talking about in the world today are examples of what Paul is referring to.
Other questions? Not? The copies of the paper are up in front. Eventually, we'll send them.